human being, for every Christian. If you're born again, say amen. You know, and yes, I believe it's God's will that he wants everybody saved. Those who get saved, he wants them baptized. And those that are willing to be baptized should join a church and serve and those kind of, yes, I get that. But what beyond that? Well, you're to read, you're to pray, you're to tithe, you're to witness, you're to go to church. Those are the foundational five that everybody's supposed to do. But then what about me, preacher? What about the next step? Well, we'll cover that in the coming weeks, so don't miss if you can help it. Tonight we're going to talk about how to develop your inner circle. I talked to you, one of the points from last week was get good counsel, godly counsel. Well, who is it that you're listening to? Who is in your esteem group? Who is it that is those voices that you pay attention to and follow? And how did they get there? And should they still remain there in your life? 1 Kings chapter number 12 and verse number 1. And Rehoboam, this is the son of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. Now his daddy is dead. This is the knucklehead, he's a knucklehead, that the book of Proverbs was written for, to help him when daddy was gone. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, now this is a rebel. Jeroboam's a rebel. Keep them separate. Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Don't know that I would want either one of those names in my children, but Jeroboam is a rebel. And isn't it interesting when there is a leadership change, how that rebels return? I want to give you a quick side note. Should I die tonight before I wake up in the morning, you can expect rebels to return to the church because the preacher who run them off isn't here anymore. Okay? Just love you. Love you now. Follow, you know what I'm saying? That's just the way it works. Whenever there's a leadership change, the rebels return. Yeah, he is Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt. Why was he in Egypt? Because he's afraid of Solomon. Solomon's going to kill him. For he fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Boy, I could just stay right there tonight. That they sent and called him. Who called him? Those who have rebellious hearts. Remember, birds of a feather flock together. You attract what you are. Now, I love you and I love your children. But if your children are always running around with knuckleheads, there's a common denominator. Your kid's a knucklehead. I'm just saying. If everybody comes to your cubicle to gossip, there's a common denominator. Wherever you go, there you are. So who called Jeroboam back? The other rebels who hadn't left. They sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. That means Solomon worked us like rented mules. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Man, if you'll lighten up on us, we'll follow. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me, and the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father. Now, who was Solomon? The wisest man who ever lived. He's smarter than Musk. He's smarter than Gates. He's smarter. You pick whoever you think is the smartest person on the planet. He was smarter than him. And these were the old guys who used to counsel the smartest man on the planet. Don't lose sight of that. It's going to become important in a second. And King Rehoboam consulted the old man that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day. Servant leadership is one of the hardest things to find. It's hard to teach and it's hard to train. It's caught more than it is taught. Then we'll serve them and answer them and speak good words to them. Then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. Who is that? These are the other knucklehead in his entourage. Right? Right? I never got into trouble by myself. It was Mike, Joe, and Rodney. Man, when we got together, something got broke. Something got shot. Somebody got hurt. There was Band-Aids involved. I mean, that's just how it was. All right? All right? So instead of listening to the old men who counseled the wisest man who ever lived. He goes to his friends, the echo chamber of yes men, that remember, these are people, if Rehoboam's going to party, he's paying for it and these guys are coming along for free. Look what it says. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people, remember the rebel and all the people following the rebel, came to the king Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. And then he goes on to wax eloquently and stupidly. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform this saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. What happened was he just split the kingdom. For sake of time, now I admit, listen, now you young folks, I want to tell you the truth. Nothing is more effective than old age and treachery. I get it. Old age and experience outdoes youth and ability every single time. But when you go to the guys who were counseling your dad that your dad trusted, and you say, nah, they don't know what they're talking about. And you go to the people your own age who have zero experience leading a nation, stuff ain't gonna work, okay? I love fresh, you know, young minds and fresh ideas. I do. But who are you listening to? Whose counsel do you accept? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. You need good godly counsel. You need to ask people questions instead of make statements. You need, when you need to make a decision, when you need to pick a direction, you take on a new job, you do need to counsel with somebody. You need to get some advice from somebody who's been there. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes or plans are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Why do you need godly counselors? Because life is a series of choices. And some choices are hard to come back from. As Rehoboam is about to find out, there's no coming back from this one. This will be a life-altering, nation-altering, eternal decision that fractured Israel. You know, why do you need counsel? Why do you need good godly counsel? Because you can't see from all different points of view. Have you ever had times when you wish you would have asked an extra couple of questions? Like it might have saved you some money or some headache had you asked a couple of extra questions before you signed on the dotted line? Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsels. To have good outcomes, we need to be making the best choices. And you can always assume, and I know assumptions are bad, but you can always assume you do not have all the information that is that is possible to have. The best choices are made when we get as much information as possible. Have you ever made a decision only to have somebody walk up later and say, well, I could have told you that wasn't going to work? When I went to Roswell, and the pastor was supposed to retire and let me have the church within like 90 days of showing up, it didn't turn out. And within a month or two, I had three or four people go, oh man, I could have told you that wasn't going to work. He's done this to 20 other people. I'm like, where are you? Man, I should have asked questions. Some people think, well, experience is the best teacher. Yeah, if you're too dumb to learn any other way than the school of hard knocks or adversity university. You know, because we're prone to living in our flesh, that's our default. That's our default position, is to live in the flesh. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Well, that makes sense to me. But the Lord weighs the spirits. Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We need godly counsel because we're prone to making decisions based on just only what we can see or based on only the experiences we've had rather than Bible principles. In the book of Judges, if you're taking notes, chapter 17 and verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You can't see from all directions like God can. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. It's not that we don't have people in our life to get counsel from. We just typically don't want people to think we don't know or we're somehow less because we don't know. So we'll stand there and because the Bible says even a fool is counted wise when he holdeth his tongue, right? Holdeth his peace. If you stand there and keep your mouth shut, people will just assume you know what you're doing. And that's how we like it, only to find out later, no, we don't want anybody to know that we don't know. And we don't want anybody to know that we're having any kind of problems. Why? Because of our pride. Our pride gets us into trouble. Our pride has us make decisions. You know, I had a teenager, he graduated from the high school and got a job, went out and bought a car. And they were the interest rate was like super duper high. And I asked him, I said, did you check the interest rate? Oh, no, I can make the payment. I didn't ask you what the payment was. I asked you what the interest rate was. He hadn't even looked at it. You know, most of your credit cards are 26% or 25% interest. Just saying, for every dollar you owe $1.25. Just saying. And that's because of our pride, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction. The Bible even goes on to say it is woe unto them who won't seek counsel, Isaiah 5 and verse 21. And quite honestly, I get tired of recreating the mistakes of other people when I could have avoided them if I just asked somebody what they thought. And there's so many voices out there. We have within the palm of our hand all of the basic knowledge that humanity has. But some of it's not. Some of it's out there to hook you into something else. And that's because you can't see the big picture. Our flesh is unruly. Well, some people say, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Well, that's foolish because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, who is it deceitful to? It deceives us. And bad counsel is just as ugly as no counsel. Adam and Eve got bad counsel. Amnon had Jonadab, his cousin, give him bad counsel. And Hanan and his princess gave King Hanan bad examples in 2 Samuel 10. And then, of course, now you saw in 1 Kings 12, Rehoboam and his peers. And the biggest mistake you can do is only get advice from your peers. But that's what we do. You know, that's what we do. We did it as teenagers. We do it as young adults. We do it when we're new into our careers. The Bible says that be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We take on the opinions and the actions and values of those we run with. Remember, this is why Israel was told to cast out the Canaanites when they came into the new land, because their pagan heathen ways would influence them and turn their heart from God. I'm going to tell you something. If your kids love hanging out with lost people, there's a common denominator. Your kid's probably lost. Well, preacher, you just don't know my kid. I know. But I'm telling you, you attract what you are. And that's why Daddy always said, tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you what you are. Now, I'm not talking about coworkers. You don't get to pick your coworkers unless you're the supervisor and you're hiring, right? But you don't get to pick your cube mates. That's your boss's job. I'm talking about outside of that. Who you run with says a lot about who you are. So God commanded us to live by faith, not flesh. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And God promises that if we'll seek godly counsel, that's people who are saved, walking in the Spirit according to Scripture. Do you understand that? They can be saved, but not walking according to Scripture. We don't like to think that, but it's true. I believe we have many brothers and sisters in this area that we are acquainted with, and I believe they're saved, but they're not living according to Scripture. Now, God says there's safety. Where no counsel is, the people fall, Proverbs 11:14. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And God promises to make us wise if we'll hearken to wise counsel, Proverbs 12:15. So who is it that you listen to? These are the people in what I call your esteem group. They're the ones that you get advice from. And you say to yourself, well, they make me feel good. And then I feel good. I feel good about me if they feel good about me. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So are there friends? Who are the friends? Who are the coworkers? Is it parents? Is it relatives? Is it TV and radio personalities? Is it Fox News or CNN? Or is it horoscopes? Or is it astrologers? Who is the voices in your life? Now, I do listen to some internet preachers, but the truth is I'm not foolish enough to think they'll ever show up here if I'm sick and visit me in the hospital. Right? I mean, there are several men that I listen to that I have great respect for, but I'm not foolish enough to think that if I send my tithes and offerings to them, they're ever going to come here and hold my hand while my kid's going through surgery. Right? God has put people in your life that will give you godly counsel. So when you think of who is it that I listen to, you need to ask yourself, how did they get in my esteem group? And why are they there? And why do I care what these people think? What about them has caused me to go, wow, I wonder what they think. Who should I be listening to? Who? And I refer to this as, who is your inner circle? Who is your inner circle? Number one, God needs to be your inner circle. In Proverbs chapter number 1, if you'll follow along with me in your scriptures, Proverbs chapter number 1, starting in about verse 24, the Bible reads, because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You don't listen to me is what God's saying. And when things blow up in your face because you don't listen to me, what do you want God to do? I mean, Mr. Clean Eraser can't fix it, right? You've made a mess. But you should pray and ask God to confirm good counsel through godly people. Whenever I'd make decisions, I would go to my preacher. But before I went to my preacher, I would talk to God about it and say, now, God, I'm going to go and talk to brother so-and-so, or I'm going to, because I believe he's walking, he's saved, and he's walking according to Scripture, and I believe that he is filled with the Spirit. So, Father, I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to ask you to give me good, godly counsel. So talk to God before you go talk to brother or sister so-and-so. And then when you talk to somebody, ask God to confirm it through them according to Scripture. Because no matter who you talk to, you need to line what they say up with Scripture. What does the Bible actually say? Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If it speaks not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, I believe doctors and psychologists and people like that are here to minister to us. But remember, you need to line up what they say with Scripture. No matter how spiritual they sound, the devil is a liar and his ministers are liars. And no matter how educated they may be, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, listen, a PhD is just 3 degrees above zero. That's really all it is. Okay, and I've met some very educated, or people educated well beyond their usefulness. All right? So look for the Holy Spirit's confirmation. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule your heart. So you go to God and you say, God, now listen, you've put people in my life that I believe are walking in the Spirit. They're living Bible principle from everything I can see. So Father, I'm going to go speak to them about this issue. Would you please speak through them? And Holy Spirit, give me peace and confirm it according to Scripture. Number two, after you speak to the Lord, speak to people who love you, who wants what's best for you. My wife is my number one counselor after the Holy Spirit. And she can be brutal sometimes, but I need that. Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Ecclesiastes 7:5, it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of fools. Go to the people who want what's best for you. Now, I have some family members who I believe love me, but of course the counsel they gave me in the past didn't line up with Scripture because they were lost. And to them, what they told me made sense. And I appreciated them giving me their counsel, and I love them to this day, but it didn't line up with Scripture. So speak to God. Number two, speak to people who love you. Number three, speak to godly people. You know, God has given us a fine deacon. I pick on Brother Jim. I refer to him. This is Jim Boley. This is our deacon, if you did not know that. Right? I refer to him as Bigfoot. You've heard about it. You've seen sightings, but nobody's ever actually talked to one. I've heard of godly deacons. Never met a single one until I got to this church. I'm telling you. His wife is filled with the Holy Spirit. God has put these people in our lives. After I talked to God and my wife, I talked to them. That's why they're here. There's other people in this church. The Rizzos, the Bridges, the Grimsleys. I'm telling you, these people, they got a little gray, little snow on the roof. But there's fire in the furnace, and you ought to go talk to them. They've got other experiences, and they walk with God, and they love me. And they pray for me. And they do their best to live godly scriptures. They're excellent sources of advice. Now you weigh it, you balance it, because sometimes even Pastor Mix has a really bad day and I can get it wrong. But who are you listening to? You have to first stop and go, okay, who's in my esteem group? Who is it that I care about what they think of me and what they say? I'm looking for what they say. And why is that? Is it because they speak the words of God? Because they actually can go to Scripture and say, here, preacher, here's what the Bible actually says. Wow, I forgot about that. Thank you. You know, the Scripture's never wrong. The Scripture's always true. So ask somebody filled with the Spirit. God give you Sunday school people, Sunday school teachers, who are doing their best to read their Bible and to pray and to walk with God. Ask them. Ask them questions. Now, I don't give legal advice, but I can tell you the mistakes I've made. I've bought a few houses, and I can tell you the mistakes I've made. I've bought a few cars, and I can tell you the mistakes I've made. I bought a few mowers. Remember my mower story? Right? I can tell you the mistakes I've made. But they have been around a while, and they love you. Number four, you ought to talk to creative people. They typically look at situations from a different standpoint than you do. Their solutions sometimes can be just exactly what you needed, you know, right along with Scripture, but just from a different point of view. Brother Mike's that way. Brother Mike's the most common sense man I've ever met. He's filled with common sense. He's got more of it than I've ever seen, and I love asking Mike questions. You say, well, you're just puffing people up. No, There are people in this church who walk with God, are filled with Spirit. His wife, Miss April, I ask her questions. I get her advice. Why? Because she comes from a different place than I do, a different point of view. And that's good, because in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. To get along with people and say, pray for me. I'm trying to make a decision here. Help me. What do you think we ought to do about this? And get them to sit down, because I believe these people are trying to walk with God and trying to help and trying to be a find loyal people. People that you can talk to in confidence. And you know they'll keep it in confidence. Wise people. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. They're saved and they're trying to live Bible principle. But you're going to have to seek these people out. The Bible says in Psalms 37:37, mark the perfect man. The word perfect in 1611 English meant mature, complete. Nobody's got everything nailed down in their life. But there's certain people I get counsel from on their marriage because they got a great marriage. And other people because they got their finances under control. And other people because they're professional or they see things from a different point of view. And I value these people, smart people, people that have been trained in this area, people who've walked those steps, people who've fallen down those steps and had to climb them again. People with complementary gifts. People with integrity. But you have to seek these people out. Psalm 37:37 says, mark that person. Check it out. You can see their life and go, wow, they're living Bible principle in this area. I'm going to ask them their advice. You got to develop a relationship with them. Ask them to mentor you in this area and then allow them to hold you accountable. See, the problem is wisdom without accountability is useless. Well, who are you to tell me that I ought to follow through? Then why waste my time? I hate counseling. You know why? Because nobody does what I tell them. Or my counseling's a lot of times like antibiotics. They get halfway through the bottle and they quit, figuring maybe they'll use the rest of it later. And they quit. Right? I mean, that's just how it is. Or my counsel becomes, I know too much now. You can't handle me knowing that. See, you've got to develop a relationship and you have to allow people to mentor you. And it's not just, here's what the Bible says, it's here's how we live it. And they walk with life with you. And you have to let them walk through it with you. Lastly, you've got to pick several. You can't just pick one. You need to pick several people, and you need to let God add more people to your life because no one has it all together. Will Rogers said, everybody is ignorant just on different subjects. That's true. There's a lot of things I don't know. But there's people in this church who do. If we're not too proud to ask. So, who's in your esteem group? Who is it? Whose voices? I got on a conference call back during COVID, and I was accused of being in an echo chamber. Do you know what that means? That means I only listen to people who believe like me. It's kind of hard to do around here, right? I turned around and said, same thing. Well, brother, I think you're the one in the echo chamber because I don't agree with anything on this call but me. Who is in your inner circle? Why don't you ask God tonight? Why don't you take time during our prayer time here in a minute and say, God, whose voices am I listening to? Number two, should I be listening to these or those, or should I add some more? God, is there somebody that I should take this problem to in confidence and ask a question? I don't give medical advice, but I can tell you that I try my best to walk with the Lord and be filled with the Spirit. And I do my best to pray and ask the Lord how I can be a blessing to you. But you're the one who has to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be in your Bible. You've got to be reading, and then you've got to be praying and saying, now, Lord, I'm seeking an answer. I've talked to the preacher, I've talked to the deacon, I've talked, and Father, this is what I've been told, and here's what I see in Scripture.
And by faith, according to your word, I'm going to step out. Expecting you to be honored because I'm doing it because that's what your book says. And God, ultimately, the Holy Spirit, needs to be the one bearing witness to you of what's true. So who do you listen to? Who is your go-to when you have a question or a problem or a concern? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If there's somebody with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, if there's somebody in your life who's speaking toxic, who speaks into your life, and I'm not talking about just, you know, giving you constructive criticism. I'm talking about toxic. That is someone you need to remove from your esteem group. But if there's somebody in your life who loves you and loves the Lord and they're filled with the Spirit and they're guiding you according to Scripture and they say some hard things, don't take them out. There are some pastors who are what I would consider to the right of me and more conservative, where I would be considered liberal, and they challenge me in my thinking. There are some to the left of me who would consider me a crazy fundamentalist. Well, they challenge me in my thinking. But when the chips are down, it's the Lord, His Word, and the Holy Spirit, and the Lord speaking through godly people He's put in my life. That's my esteem group. That's my inner circle. Father, tonight, in the next few moments, I ask that you would reveal to us who is it, Father, that needs to be removed from that group? And who is it, Father, that we're afraid to ask because we're afraid they'll give us a hard answer according to your Scripture? Who is it that we're afraid to ask because we know what we really want to hear is something soft and something that follows the way we think rather than challenging us in righteousness? Let us be honest with ourselves tonight, Father. Convict us, convince us. And if there's one among us that's yet to trust Christ as their personal Savior, convict them of their need of a Savior tonight and their sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. As she begins to play and sing, the altar's open. Make the changes to your inner circle as God leads you.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light.
You only listen to those who think like you want to. Do you only listen to those who give you permission to follow your flesh? Do you listen to those that just are going in the general direction you think you want to go? Or
I will not forget your love.
Are you allowing people to challenge your thinking?
My heart,
the Scripture's ever true.
Is one. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto
Our Father and our God, thank you that your word is ever true. And Father, we can read it and Father, trust it. And Father, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit who applies it to us as our heart is open and seeking truth. And Father, so many of our wonderful church members love you and follow you and walk with you. And I'm thankful for their counsel. I'm thankful, Father, for their friendship. And Father, help us to put people who love you and want your truth to reign supreme in our inner circle. And Father, give us the presence of mind and to follow and to submit to your word and the leading of your spirit so that you can be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.